The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Georgia Tech conversation continues as we bring you the good word. Chris Mooneyham and Wiley Ballard are talking all things Georgia Tech as they set the plate for the coming week. Talk with Georgia Tech insiders and get you up to speed on all things Yellow Jackets. Now, the good word.
It's the good word. I'm standing up. Thanks for moving, Matt. Love you, buddy. Mean it. Well, not touch too much. It's not that kind of show.
Get on with it, Mooney.
That's Wiley Ballard. I'm Chris Mooneyham. We appreciate you being with
us. That was not Wiley Ballard. That was Matt Chernoff. I want the record to display. This right here is Wiley Ballard.
Yeah, but you love me too.
I do. Okay. I do.
So make sure.
But if there's any touching going on, I wasn't a part of it.
No.
I was on the other side of the room, minding my own business.
My name is not Brian Hoyt, so there will be no touching going on in this studio. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
I'm relieved to hear that.
Take a little side swipe at Hoyt since I know he's not listening.
That wasn't really a side swipe. That was kind of a direct, just head-on collision.
That's true. Yeah. And also true. We're live on the Fan 680, 93.7 FM. Don't forget, you can take us with you this evening on the 680 The Fan mobile app. Join us at 680thefan.com. Wiley Ballard, yours truly, Chris Mooneyham, taking you up until 7 p.m. here on the FAN. And then, of course, we'll drop into the Damon Stoudemire Show at least for a couple more weeks. In fact, we only have one more after tonight. And I'll mention this next week, but I want to just throw it out there really briefly here at the top. We've heard so many folks since the fall into the winter months talking about the good word, joining us. Justin Hanover's done a great job when he's been in as well. Want to really say thanks to everyone who's joined us throughout the fall and the winter as well as we move into the spring, wrap up the basketball season. More on that coming up next week, but I'll give you a chance to say something as well.
Yeah, Wiley. Mooney, I mean, I think, look, I'm from Atlanta, born and raised, grew up listening to 680, grew up a Georgia Tech fan, went to Georgia Tech. This has been a pretty cool opportunity, for me personally, but most importantly, I think as a Georgia Tech fan, there's been desire for a long time to have a little more Georgia Tech talk. Also some desire for some more Georgia Tech wins, obviously, at times. We've gotten a few of those here lately, which has been a really fun to watch. I've always said that, the more you win, the more they talk. But I'm excited to have had this opportunity this year. It's been a lot of fun getting to work with you. I'm excited to I still think we got another couple shows after this. You run through that ACC tournament. They're not bringing us back before NCAA
that's
selection.
A great
you know
question.
What I'm saying?
No, that's a great
question.
We're
coming question.
Back. Yeah. Okay. Shoot, I don't know if we're coming back next year. Who knows? You could have a hit show. In this modern era of radio, you could have a hit show. I don't know if we have a hit show, but you could have one, and they still may not bring you back.
And that's and I take a lot of solace in that, knowing that if we do get canceled, then we're just kind of like Freaks and Geeks, where, somebody up top didn't like us, but we were a big hit, and we've got great, successful careers ahead of us. I think you're kind of the Jason Segel, and I'm...
I was just about that. You could see me wondering.
Yeah, who am I going to be? I kind of think of myself as... I got to be careful here because some people have had some things happen since that show that
yeah, you
don't
know
want
what?
Associate. You want to move on?
Nah, we probably
Let's
should.
Move on. Yeah,
you're right. Anyhow, listen, this past weekend and this win over Florida State, for those of you that didn't take it in, you can still always go online, check the highlights, maybe your DVR if you were not able to catch it. You know that the team won. Sometimes we don't go back and watch the ball games even after a win. I got to tell you, though. It'll be a really interesting watch, and it'll be one that you'll really, really enjoy, not just because, obviously, Tech got the win, but also because this was a very thorough ball game out of the Jackets. I would think, and this just popped in my head, which is always dangerous, but you know what? I'm going to say it anyway.
You got the dump button ready, Chris?
Oh, no Colwell tonight. So we'll have to see how quick David is.
That's David. David, what's up, man? I can only see the top of his head.
I would say that if you were to rank the top five most complete games that the Jacks have played this year, certainly that Florida State game has to be in it this past weekend. 85, 76 the final, of course. Georgia Tech with the victory. They withstood a couple of Florida State runs, attempts to try to get back in the ball game. And this team on Saturday night did not fall into the same trappings, quite frankly. And again, we keep it honest on this show, good and bad. They didn't fall into some of the same trappings with which they have fallen into throughout this entire season. They were able to keep Florida State at arm's length. They did not collapse offensively or defensively. A few too many turnovers, but that's a whole other story when we really want to start dissecting the ball game. They made big shots and made big stops when they needed to offensively and defensively and got a really great win.
A terrific win. And again, I go back and when this team is having success, Mooney, over the course of the last 5 months, it's when they're rebounding well. And they did that again, plus 22 on the boards. And look, I know this is not the best Florida State team in the last 10 years that Leonard Hamilton has had, but it's still a team that's very long. They've got a lot of talent. And to get the rebounding production from, I mean, obviously you expect it from Dongo, of course. Tafari Kapari, double digits. I mean, what a game he had. I mean, it's just stuff in the stat sheet almost everywhere. I mean, 8 points, 10 boards, 4 assists, 3 blocks. I mean, he has a couple dynamic sequences as well, and he's a huge part of it. And Tyjon Claude, too. I mean, that's a guy who, to be honest with you, it kind of won me over early in the season just by the way he attacked and what you would hear his teammates say about him, just kind of a lunch pail mentality. I'm excited he got a chance to have one of his statistically more productive games with 8 points and 10 boards. And, you know, Kyle Sturdivant, man, I mean, you want to talk about your final game at McCamish. He made it count, 20 points, leading all scores on both sides. And I'm really happy for him. And like I said, I'm happy for Tyjon Claude. Those two guys getting a chance to close out, not just with good individual performances, but most importantly, a win.
Yeah, three guys in double figures, plus two guys who finished just 2 points from double figures, which would have put them on a double-double.
Yes.
So again, three guys on double figures scoring, and then two other guys who finished with 8 points and 10 rebounds, just 2 points away from double-double. So that's just one way to articulate how really in some ways it was sort of, I don't want to say dominant, because it was, a 9-point win, but again, you really kept Florida State at arm's length through a good deal of this ball game. I've talked a great deal about rebounding as well, Wiley, and I want to go through some of these numbers really quick. Tech's now out-rebounded its last four opponents by an average of more than 13 per ball game. Not only that, but 55 rebounds in the ball game against Florida State, one shy of its all-time high in an ACC ball game, which also came versus the Seminoles, by the way back in 1996. Now, they also had one of their great defensive rebounding ball games, as I chronicled in the post game show with Randy Waters, one of their best overall rebounding days of the year. I think it was tied for number one on the season, and you had the third highest, I believe, was the number. I don't have my notes in front of me, so I'll beg your pardon. It was certainly the third or fourth highest defensive rebounding ball game of the year for Georgia Tech. Which, look, offensive rebounds tell one different story. Defensive rebounds tell an entirely separate story. And when you're able to do that against a Florida State team that has made their bones for so very long on extra opportunities around the rim, in the paint, with their length, and you dominate them on the defensive boards, man alive, that's a big, big deal.
A huge deal. And, you know, I go back to, you got great performances from Claude and Kapari. But for me, I think the other piece is it's beyond those guys with the double-digit rebounds. I mean, it was everybody chipping in. You had hold on, where'd my box score go? There it is. Sorry. Obviously, you had Bye with 14, but, you know, Nathan George getting 5 rebounds. I mean, you talk to coaches all the time, especially for a Florida State team that threw up, 21 three-pointers. You've got to have everybody rebounding, and I thought Nathan George was effective in that category. Kawasi Reeves, Miles Kelly, putting up a few as well. And, rebound, too. I mean, so much of that is boxing out other guys. You may not get credit for the rebound, but did you box out your man? So, I think the rebounding story, look, I think that's something that this team can kind of hang its hat on moving forward. That needs to be a big part of their identity. When you look at the ACC rankings, one of the areas in which Georgia Tech ranked in the top five this year, and look, there weren't many, but they were top five in the ACC in rebounding margin. And I think moving forward, not just this week, but in the next season, I think that's a chance for Georgia Tech to establish a little bit of an identity of who they are. In other words, we're not giving up second chance points. Our opponents are one and done. And on the flip side, we are, cleaning up the offensive glass as well. And that's really where Tech was excellent all year, number one in the ACC in offensive rebounds per game.
And Georgia Tech earning its first back-to-back wins since December. Ouch, babe. I hate to say it, but it is the truth. And I think you were there for
it. Yeah, I was.
Massachusetts, and UMass and Hawaii, of course.
Yep.
Again, I can't just say I can't do it.
Hawaii.
It's Hawaii.
Yes.
I can't say it.
I'm an Islander now. Not so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you can say it.
Yeah.
You're allowed to say it.
I got approved. I got all my paperwork.
You get like the formal lay across your neck.
Well, I can't tell you everything. It's kind of.
Oh. You know. Yeah. You got initiated by a volcano.
Yeah. So it's one of those. If you have to ask, you probably don't need to know.
Oh. Okay. I'm sorry. Wow.
Can I point out one other number too?
Great. I feel out of place now. I'm sorry, Wiley. You guys should have seen the fire in his eyes when he said that.
Yeah. To be fair, you're the one wearing the flamingo shirt, so that actually might make you more qualified. I don't. Where are flamingos? If I want to find a flamingo in the U.S. that's not at a zoo, can I do that?
Oh, yeah. We have flamingos out in Snellville. Totally. Totally have flamingos out in Snellville.
I think we're talking about two different flamingos.
Like, hey, y'all.
Tafari Gapari plus 15 and plus minus. Yep. That's the second straight game he's been the guy.
You love your plus minus.
I do. Well, for him.
For good reason, though.
For him. Yeah. Because when Coach Stoudemire talks about getting lost in the little things, the best way you can measure that in my mind is plus minus. You know, are you finding ways to contribute? It can be kind of hard to grasp. And don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're on the floor when Kyle Sturdivant's going off, that helps your plus minus too. But I really think that's an effective way to identify what kind of game Tafari Gapari had. I think that's something that – you know, like we talked about, he's as much a key to this coming season as anybody on this roster, in my mind. I think how much he's able to improve from now until November, and really from now until January when ACC season starts next year, I think is going to dictate a lot of how far Georgia Tech goes, you know, in the ACC a year from now.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I want to go back to Kyle Sturdivant just really quick before we wrap up this first segment. Coming up in the middle segment, got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk a little Georgia Tech football, by the way. The coaching carousel continues. I think the trade between three universities, institutes in our state is now complete.
Yeah, no more players to be named later.
Right, as they're all moving around from one to the other. We'll talk a little Georgia Tech football on the other side of the break. You know, coming up this week, for those of you that are not aware, I would like to invite all of you. This has nothing to do with Georgia Tech football, but sort of basketball, but sort of does here in just a moment. You'll see where I'm going with it. Don't forget that the Georgia High School Basketball State Championships are taking place this week down at the Macon Coliseum. Really, really great event. Family atmosphere. You can have a great time. Cheap tickets. Bring everybody down. Stay for multiple games. Really easy thing to do with the family. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We will both be down there to call various games because we still love high school football. We do professional stuff and collegiate stuff, but Wiley and I, on the same train of thought in this, we both love high schools. This guy could probably become the biggest broadcaster in the world, and you'd still see him down there calling some high school games every once in a while because that's just what kind of guy he is.
Well, I think it's more, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, first off, you're nice to say that.
Well,
you know, I'm not sure that's entirely true, but anyway. It's hard to beat it, man. It's just hard
it
to
is.
Beat it. It's really hard to beat it. I think it's a lot. I mean, you know, when you got, you know, kids who have never been on that stage before, they've, you know, and again, I know there's a lot more movement, you know, in sports and more, you know, it's not necessarily you grew up with your team and they were 8 years old, you've been together for 10 years. Just the world's bigger. The world's more transient.
Right.
But still individually, it's the first opportunity to really step on that big stage. And for many, that'd be the only time. And, you know, I've heard a lot of professional athletes talk about this, that high school is really the only level, college less, you know, a little bit, and then NFL hardly at all. It's the only place where pretty much everybody in the stands has a personal relationship with somebody on the field.
Yeah.
That is what makes high school sports so cool to me. And that's why I really enjoy watching it. If you're a Georgia Tech fan, by the way, Matt Harpring's daughter, Kate Harpring,
she went bananas.
She's pretty good. She's pretty good. So, yeah, Marist will be playing Friday night down at Macon. So, if
well, you know who called their semifinals? Our good buddy Justin Hanover.
Yes.
Justin Hanover.
I got an email from the day saying, yeah, Kate Harpring's really good.
What did she go for, 48, I think, in the ball game?
I didn't see the number, but
something like that.
Something like 47, there it is.
Yeah, yep. And they beat one of the best teams in the state of Georgia in River Ridge. The reason I bring up high school basketball, again, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday down at the Macon Coliseum in Middle Georgia. There's a guy that I've covered in my 30 years of covering Georgia high school athletics who was scintillating every single time I saw him. And I mean scintillating. He had such a tremendous career. Big shot after big shot after big shot. I saw him once bank in a game-winning three-point shot with no time remaining to win a region championship. This after knocking down a shot a minute earlier to tie that very ball game up after his team was battling back. That guy played at Norcross High School. That guy had such a trajectory about him on his way to the collegiate game. He was one of the more highly prized recruits in America, especially at the point guard position, and decided to go out to Southern California. Of course, many of you know that I'm talking about Kyle Sturtevant. That young man's been through a lot since he graduated from Norcross High School. To see him on senior day, because again, we have failed, well, you did mention it, that it was senior day on Saturday. To see him drop down that 20, to have that kind of night. Andy articulated the story as well. His father, Damon being his godfather, we've talked about this at length. That's a really special night, man. A really special day. And just to have a little piece of being able to articulate the stories to the audience, that's what it's also all about. And so that's kind of the through line from high school that you just drew a moment ago. Now for Georgia Tech fans that have seen Kyle play for this stretch of years, and to see it finish up like this after his ups and downs with the trajectory he had coming in to the collegiate days, it's really special.
It felt right. I mean, that's the most succinct way I can put it. It felt right, like that was how it was supposed to wrap up for him at McCamish. I think Kyle, for a group that has so many new faces this year, they're not new now, we're in March. I mean, they're Yellow Jackets. I'm not trying to, say anything otherwise, but for a group that didn't have a lot of tenure at Georgia Tech when they arrived, having Kyle out there, first and foremost, it was from a fan standpoint. It's like, I know that guy, I know his face. He had a sense of familiarity, which in today's college sports can be a little difficult to find. But he also, again, steady hand, and I thought Damon did a real nice job of kind of articulating what a challenge it was for Kyle and how much of an adjustment this year was. Kyle started a good number of games over his time at Georgia Tech, including some last year.
And, right.
Damon, said, I didn't ask him to do that this year. And he embraced that role. And, he still played a lot, obviously. But, as a fifth-year senior, new coach, it is your godfather. You're not starting. That can be an awkward situation. It can be a frustrating situation. And then when you throw in the struggles that Georgia Tech had there in January and digging a pretty deep hole there in ACC play, it makes a pretty good excuse to check out. And, I think we take for granted that the guys don't check out, honestly. I think people just say, well, that's the expectation. And they're right. I mean, they're right, but it doesn't mean it doesn't take effort to continue to lock in, especially when you're one of the few guys who is going to be done whenever this season ends.
And don't let me interrupt. I beg your pardon, but I just got to jump in here really quick. Also, oftentimes when you're talking about kids, you're talking about, not kids, but you're talking about 20-year-old guys.
Oh, yeah.
Who are taking four classes.
Yes, yes.
At Georgia Tech.
Yes.
So that focus has to be even more sharp.
Yeah, and again, I mean,
sharper.
I think that sums it up right there, Mooney. I mean, I think Kyle's a pretty hungry guy. And we saw it in high school. We saw it early on in his Tech career. And in a lot of ways, it kind of feels like, officially a passing of the era and the torch as well, and that, he was the last remaining player from that ACC championship team in 2021. So, I mean, I think that's a group, look, given some of the challenges Georgia Tech basketball has faced the last 10 to 15 years, that's probably one of the more memorable teams. I think if you talk to any Georgia Tech basketball fan, they talk about their best memories the last 10 years. It was Jose Alvarado, winning that game against Florida State, along with Moses Wright, Michael DeVoe, and Kyle Sturtevant, had a role to play on that team as well. So, I think we're really kind of finally closing the book on that era of Georgia Tech basketball, which, look, I'm not saying it stacks up to, what we had in the 90s and 2010s and even the late 80s, but, in the modern, more recent 10 to 15 years, that's really been the highlight. So it was kind of cool to see the last guy from that team, go out triumphantly with 20 points.
By the way, really wanted to hit this just really quickly before we get to this first break. By Dongo, Another double-double, 15 points, 14 rebounds versus the Seminoles. Meanwhile, Nathan George goes for 15 points, 2 assists, no turnovers, played 30 minutes. Maybe we saw Nathan George hit the freshman wall. I know that I articulated it, not to sound like Mr. Smart Guy, but then you may have heard that Damon Stoudemire said as much, that he thought that that was absolutely possible. Gave him a little bit of a breather, not a ton, let him sit a little bit more. Then he comes back, starts to play more minutes, had a tremendous ball game versus Florida State, and by Dongo, seems like he might now be able to hit that second wind as well. So great to see those two guys contribute in the way that they did in that ball game.
We're going to be talking about those guys for many years to come, so yeah. they will get their due with what they've been doing.
Absolutely right. All right, but that will hit the break. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of Georgia Tech football. The coaching carousel continues to move around, and it just became official, even though we had heard all the rumors, and it was pretty much verified through multiple media outlets. But now we know officially Georgia Tech has a new member of its football staff. We'll tell you who it is on the other side of the break. This is The Good Word live on The Fan, 680-93.7 FM.
That baseball buzz is back in the air. And Atlanta's exclusive coverage of Braves spring training is only live on The Fan. We've got weekday games live on ESPN Atlanta 103.7, weekend games live on The Fan, and every one of them streaming for free on the 680 The Fan app. Plus, our team of Truist reporters checking in from the fields all day with exclusive updates and news you can only get from the flagship. Proud to be Atlanta's 15-year home of the Braves. The Fan.
At Southern Link, we're rethinking what's possible in wireless. Our mission-critical LTE network, Critical Link, is enabling two-way LMR and LTE communications like no one else. We offer specially equipped L3 Harris LMR and LTE radios and Catalyst IntelliLink interworking solutions to enable you to extend your radio network communications across hours. We also offer Samsung Galaxy smartphones and tablets to help you stay productive anywhere Critical Link service takes you. Critical Link. From Southern Link, pushing the limits with interworking solutions. Mission critical push to talk, LTE voice and data services. Call 866-450-LINC for more information. Or visit HiFly Technologies in Atlanta or NextLink in Duluth. Go to southernlink.com to find a dealer near you.
If you have been to Chuckingham Palace, you know that we now have gorgeous double front doors. Well, Dan Watkins, the guy that put that door in, told me some interesting things about it at dinner.
Atlanta is a weird market for front doors. For 40 years, builders have been installing odd-sized side lights as part of the front door, which is a huge problem now that people realize how much better their home looks with modern and beautiful double doors. Most companies will tell you the double door installation can't be done. It can be done, and we're the company to do it, no matter how odd the opening is. Let All Four Seasons garage and entry doors be the ones to tell you yes.
As the longest continually operating franchise in Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves have plenty of history to share with fans. Tours of Truist Park are offered year-round and take guests behind the scenes to areas normally off-limits during games. With artifacts and exhibits distributed throughout the ballpark, it's a definite must for any Braves or baseball fan. And from now until March 28th, fans can enjoy a bonus stop in the Braves clubhouse to see where the players hang out when they aren't on the field. Purchase your tour tickets at braves.com/tours. Atlanta Braves Baseball. We are Braves Country.
Calling all Oyster fans, who's ready for a great shucking time? Be sure to join us in the courtyard at Arnett's Chop Shop on Sunday, March 10th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for our fourth annual Mother Shucker Oyster event. Raw, roasted, stewed, along with some other tasty surprises from Chef Stephen Herman and live tunes from local artist Parker Smith and his band. And of course, there'll be plenty of adult beverages to wash down all those tasty oysters. Check out details and our ticket link on our Instagram profile page right now. Arnett's Chop Shop. A word-of-mouth restaurant.
At the Piedmont Bank, we're proud to be one of Georgia's largest community banks, focusing on serving businesses and the communities they serve. With headquarters right here in Metro Atlanta, our tailored banking expertise and solutions help meet the diverse needs of our customers so they have what it takes to grow, expand, and thrive. It's what elevates us above the rest. Find a location near you at Piedmont.bank and experience elevated banking for you and your business. The Piedmont Bank. Banking elevated. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
This is The Good Word with Chris Mooneyham and Wiley Ballard from the Georgia Tech Sports Network and Legend Sports.
We appreciate you being with us. not just tonight, but all through the season, football and basketball, for the good word. Live here on the Fan 680, 93.7 FM. Justin Hanover has filled in for us this year. Wiley Ballard, the man across the table from me. I'm Chris Mooneyham. Am I forgetting anybody? It's just been the three of us, right? On every show?
I think so.
I don't believe I'm forgetting anyone. Yeah, it's just been the three of us, I think. I do know that
I really don't remember. I think that's it.
David Holloway and Chris Colwell on the other side of the glass kept us on our P's and Q's all throughout the two iterations of the show, and we really do appreciate you guys for all the hard work. Speaking of which, as I mentioned, not just basketball season, but we started this trek so far long ago, and what seems like it was so long ago because of all the developments that we've seen throughout the football and basketball season now. A little more football here to kind of close out the year and close out our show. We've got one more left, by the way. I don't know why I'm saying all these goodbyes. We'll see you next Monday. Leading you up to the Damon Stoudemire show tonight at 7 p.m., by the way. We find out for sure today, it was just verified, I guess, within about the last hour and a half by the Georgia Tech Athletic Department, the former Georgia State offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, Trent McKnight, is now going from, I was going to say from one part of Atlanta to the next, but I guess that's not really fair.
Downtown to Midtown.
Downtown to Midtown. Yeah. Yeah, all right. You know, we should have our Midtown versus Downtown debate sometime on the air. I'll just anger a lot of folks.
You're talking about?
I don't want to do it. Don't get me started.
What direction are you going?
What is Midtown?
It's north of North Ave.
No, I know.
North Ave is the dividing line.
No, I get it. But isn't, like, Midtown usually in a downtown? I mean, isn't a downtown and Midtown sort of the same thing?
You know what I'm saying? You could argue that, yeah.
Remember, I'm an Atlanta guy now.
Yeah. If you're talking about me, I can sit here and there's a difference between Midtown Atlanta and Downtown. I know that.
I know.
But from a word, like you're talking like just the word itself, yeah, you could argue that.
Yeah. I got into a debate about this with a buddy of mine.
Did it come to blows?
Oh, my. Oh, my. He was not having it, to say the least. Okay. So then let's put it this way. Trent McKnight leaves Georgia State, takes off from downtown and heads to Midtown to join the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. The former Georgia State offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach spent the past seven seasons as a part of the Georgia State staff. He was promoted all throughout his run there. And, oh, by the way, this guy was a Broyles Award nominee back in 2020. It's a good hire for Georgia Tech. We'll see what sort of long listing responsibilities he gets. Brent Key continues to make over the coaching staff. It's a guy that has some recruiting ties as well that they can tap into.
To me, that's, you know, I know we talked about this when Jess Simpson came in the fold, but to me, that's a big part of this. And look, I have a lot of confidence he's going to be able to help the receivers that are currently in Georgia Tech's roster. I don't want to downplay that either. I think, look at some of the things he did at Georgia State. Production wise, you feel really good about it. And plus, you got Haynes King, a quarterback. So that's going to make things, a lot of different opportunities present themselves for a lot of Georgia Tech receivers this coming fall. But I do look at the recruiting angle of it a lot, Mooney, and I look at a guy who has spent pretty much like literally his entire career inside either Georgia or Alabama. And, you know, look, in today's day and age, you've got to be able to recruit nationally. And I know how much talent is down here. You've got to be able to recruit nationally. Having said that, I think he's a guy who's going to have relationships where you can find the best kept secrets, you know, kind of maybe in some, whether it's a smaller school or it's a more remote area. You know, I go back to, you know, some of the real stars that Georgia Tech brought in. I'm not talking about recruiting stars. I'm just talking about guys who had impact. Guys who weren't necessarily known commodities around the state. I mean, the one I always go back to is A.J. Gray. From Washington County, I believe. And that was something where Tech kind of had, probably had a little better information, a little more information. And I think Trent McKnight's a guy who's going to be able to find players like that. You've got Eric Singleton, you've got Malik Rutherford. If he can find a way to, develop a third receiver, somebody who can kind of, you know, if you got Rutherford in the slot and then Singleton's obviously going to draw most of the attention, if you can find a third receiver who's got a chance to you know, be a viable option and draw some attention to the defense, that's going to help everybody. So I think he's, I mean, if I'm him, I'm pretty excited to walk in the room I'm walking into with the amount of experience he's going to have returning. You know, like we talked about, Malik Rutherford, Eric Singleton Jr. You know, and again, I mean, I think Christian Leary is another piece that, I mean, you know, aside from catch at Miami, you know, I'm excited to see what he can get out of those three guys in particular.
Full season where he's healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the other thing. Beat up a little bit. Yeah, I want to see him in a full season when he's healthy. McKnight, a Samford graduate, Samford, S-A-M, Samford graduate, where he played on the offense. Spent five seasons there, by the way, as an assistant coach for his alma mater. It's also a guy who's been around, as you mentioned, in the Southeast, but he's been around a lot of various positions. I always love to see that because it gives a guy a full sense of what a program is like. It can give him a real connection with other members of the offensive coaching staff. Let me give you an idea. Wide receivers, tight ends, inside receivers. He was a pass game coordinator, a run game coordinator, and a quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. All of those various positions he's held at various places, of course. Samford, Georgia Military College, and, of course, at Georgia State. So that's something that doesn't get talked about enough. I don't mean this to sound highfalutin, as some of our older Georgia Tech folks will recognize an old country phrase like that. Sometimes when you're not really in the trenches with a team, you don't spend time with a team, you don't think about certain little things that coaches think about. If you played the game or you spend a lot of time around coaches or you think like a coach, you know that for guys like Brent Key, who's a real football man, I wonder if that played a part. Next time I see him, I'll ask him about it. Hey, what was your thinking on the McKnight hire? He may sit around and tell me, you know what, I'm going to be honest with you, Mooney, this guy, he's coached everywhere on the offensive side, and a guy like that can be invaluable. And then I'll say, well, that's why I'm so smart, Coach. I said that on the air. And then he'll look at me like I'm an idiot.
No, I'll look at you and say, I was listening that night. You are very smart, Mooney.
No. He definitely will not say that. There is not one coach that's ever gotten after me as much as Coach Key, and I love every minute of it. We've had a great time together. So in all seriousness, that can be invaluable sometimes because then that guy can go and connect with another offensive coach.
Yeah,
and Buster Faulkner, for instance, and say, Buster, listen, there's something we're missing here in the communication. What can I do to help make this click? And they'll be able to speak the same language.
And I think you talk to, you know, any organization, whether it's, you know, football or something in the corporate world, you know, the more bright minds you have in a room and the more understanding they have of what the other guy or the other woman is trying to accomplish, and they understand their challenges, you know, what they like to do. It helps the whole organization not just become a little closer knit and there's relationships there, but it also, I think, generates a better product. You know, there's brainstorming. There's, you know, kind of that, you know, dynamic, you know, creative spark, if you will, when you're talking about, you know, having those guys who have familiarity with other positions and understand the challenges of, you know, what is Tech's offensive line struggling with right now? You know, where's the running game, you know, having trouble? You know, how can we use our wide receivers to help facilitate, you know, a better running 100%. Game, better blocking scheme, all that type of stuff? I think it's critical, and I think if you're not doing it, you know, even at the high school level, you know, having guys who understand multiple position groups is just such a help, and it can be a real difference maker. And at the college level, you got a lot of smart guys and a lot of different staffs, but you know, again, it's a thin margin between winning or losing, and what you're talking about right there can be the difference.
Trent McKnight, a Birmingham, Alabama native, as I mentioned, played a couple of seasons at Samford for the Bulldogs. I got a good country feel about this guy, by the way, Wiley.
Country, define that for me. What is a country feel?
He's got a wife. That doesn't make him good in country, but he's got three sons. You ready for these names?
Oh, yes.
Bo, B-E-A-U, of course. Brooks. And Baker. Bo, Brooks, and Baker. Sounds like a good Southern boy to me.
Yeah, B-time, babe, or B-team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Yeah. I've got a Bo and a Brooks at my house. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Not for nothing. But okay.
I've got a couple bottles of bourbon in my house.
Now you sound like a good Southern boy. I love it. Well, look, that's a great segue into our next topic.
Okay.
And you already know where I'm going. They don't let you drink in the press box while you're calling baseball games anymore. Not that Wiley Ballard would ever do that.
No.
Because I'm sure he wouldn't.
Never.
But, unfortunately, I think maybe over the weekend, if it was 1955 and you were still allowed to do something like that, you may have been so inclined. Not the easiest of weekends to be a Georgia Tech broadcaster, backer, or, well, baseball player.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like we've talked about, basketball had a real nice win. So, you know, you celebrate that. Baseball kind of took it on the chin this weekend. Started Friday night, trying desperately to get that game in adverse conditions. And, you know, Georgia Tech did not get the start they needed from Cam Hill. The lefty gave up 7 runs in 3 innings. You know, 6 of those runs came on 2 swings. So, you know, I think he showed a lot of good things. I think, you know, he came in there 1-2-3 top of the first. And, again, Georgia Tech taking on Georgia this weekend in a 3-game series. But, you know, some 2-out, 2-strike pitches really burned him, and so Tech kind of fell in a hole there in that Friday night game. We'll see if they have a chance to resume that game. It was suspended in the middle of the fifth with Georgia leading 9-3. You fast forward to Saturday afternoon at Foley Field in Athens. Georgia Tech got a terrific start from Maiden Finitari. And, again, you know, both these offenses, top 2 or 3 in the nation in home runs. So anybody who pitched well this weekend should have a lot of confidence going forward the rest of their season. But Aiden Finitari was great, 6 innings, 1 run, and it was a pitcher's duel. Ultimately, Fernando Gonzalez, who I think has a good chance to play in the major leagues over in Athens or at Georgia, had a big home run there in the 7th and won the game. It was, you know, one of those games where one pitch was going to make the difference. And, you know, for Georgia Tech, they had plenty of opportunities but went 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position. So, again, Friday, it was a poor start on the mound. Saturday, couldn't find the timely hit, a few too many strikeouts. And then on Sunday, trying to, you know, again, that Friday game has not been completed. I think there's a relatively decent chance they will have a chance to complete it at some point over the next 2 months. But Tech losing that game 9-3. So you're going to Sunday thinking, all right, well, let's, you know, it's probably important to try and get the win here this afternoon. And Georgia Tech was in position to do just that. They got a terrific start from Logan McGuire. He went 5 innings, gave it just 2 runs. Meanwhile, Georgia Tech built a 4-0 lead early, got a big homer from Matt Ellis, who'd been struggling. And we went to the 7th inning with the Yellow Jackets leading 9-3. And yesterday it was the bullpen that did not come through for Georgia Tech. They had some veteran arms out there, Ben King in his 5th year, Dawson Brown, a 4th-year right-hander, and Brett Thomas, his 1st year at Georgia Tech, but he spent the last 4 years at South Carolina. And between those 3 guys, they combined to get just 2 outs and give up 5 runs.
Never easy.
Yeah, and I think that's really the headline for me on the weekend is starting pitching came up short on Friday, offense came up short on Saturday, bullpen dropped the ball on Sunday. And so I don't think anybody was heading home last night from Cool Ray Field thinking, well, you know, our group did our job this weekend, or, you know, I don't know what they got going wrong over there. I think it's an opportunity for Georgia Tech to look in the mirror. They've got Youngstown State this weekend, a bye week in ACC play. Try and, you know, find some confidence, find some solutions, because 11 days from now, ACC play begins. And that really, you know, it's when it comes to baseball, and I think this is true for every sport, even football, you know, that rivalry game against Georgia, critically important as a fan, it means a whole heck of a lot, but it's not going to define where your season goes. And I think that's got to be the message for Georgia Tech. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that everybody wasn't a little ticked off, especially with the fact that it felt like all, at least the second 2 games, could have gone either way. You know, I don't think you got your doors blown off for 3 days either, but I think, again, it's that the whole story is, you know, what can they do to make sure that in these 30 ACC games they don't have many games that play out the way we saw these 3 this weekend?
Pitching. Who's the 4th and 5th guy?
Yeah. No, but again, I mean, I do think there was even some positives on the pitching side. I think Aiden Finitari showed you that he's going to be a, you know, quality starter on the weekend. Logan McGuire looked really good. I mean, you know, I know look, just to be honest, the bar is pretty low from where it's been the last couple of years. If you have two starters that you can rely on to keep you in a game, that's, I'll be real honest with you, Mooney, that's actually progress from where it has been the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it unfolds. We got a long way to go, as you mentioned. Long, long way to go.
Long way to go.
Look, we're 1 week into, not even a full week into March. So here we go as the baseball season gets rolled. We're not going to be on for the baseball season? Have Danny Hall on every Monday night?
You know what?
Or maybe we'd have to do Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
We did Tuesdays and now Mondays. Uh-huh.
You come to my house and we'll break it down.
Okay.
I just said I had some bottles of bourbon.
I know.
I mean.
Say
I'm surprised.
Less.
Yeah, I said, well, apparently I didn't. I felt like I hadn't said enough.
Let's go now. Get a little.
Yeah, we'll have David cover the final 20 minutes here.
Yeah, he'll be all right. He's been doing shows every night now. That's the new thing around here. He's got the rewind. He can do a rewind of our show. Now, that'll be fun. Coming up next, speaking of fun, Georgia Tech has now won back-to-back ball games for the first time in quite some time on the hardwood. Three of their last four. They're looking to close ACC play out strong as we get ready for the ACC tournament beginning next week. They will, of course, have a stiff test coming up next as they'll travel up to Demon Deacon country. We'll preview the ball game on the other side of the break. The good word is live, always for you on the fan. 680, 93.7 FM.
Baseball season is back, and the Podcast Park has the best local baseball podcast to help get you ready for another season. Check out the Braves Country Podcast, where we dig deep into the soil of life in the Southeast. The people, the music, the food, and of course, Braves baseball. Or try Hardball with Chris Domino, the long-running baseball history series with in-depth conversations from the players and people that shape the game. And KMAC has the latest Braves updates every week with a Frozen Rope Report. Get these and all of our podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. All brought to you in part by Associated Credit Union.
What will my friends and family think of me?
I want to be part of my child's life.
What about our finances?
If I'm thinking about this, is she?
I'm Sarah Hobson. There are so many questions that keep you up at night when you're thinking about divorce.
At Hobson & Hobson, we understand how difficult splitting up can be. We are parents, too. We can help you protect your kids, your home, your assets, and create a plan that works for you, your spouse, and your children.
Don't wait until it's too late. If you need a family law attorney, learn more online at areyoubraveenough.com.
This is why people love Classic Tents and Events.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Baugh, CEO of Q&A Events. We use Classic Tents and Events for our outdoor festival programs, ranging from large-scale 300,000-person festival to smaller community events. They are an integral part of the programs that we produce, and we would absolutely recommend Classic Tents and Events.
Call Classic Tents and Events at 770-449-1010 or online at classic-tents.com.
Hey, it's Front Office Lowe's for entry point doors and windows. With mortgage rates at highs, you're probably not selling your house anytime soon. So it's time to invest in your home and improve its curb appeal and energy efficiency with new windows and doors from Entry Point Doors and Windows. At Entry Point Doors and Windows, there are no buy one, get one free sales gimmicks. Just upfront, transparent pricing from a locally owned company that's been in Atlanta for over two decades. Your home is probably your biggest asset, so invest in it today with Entry Point Doors and Windows. Visit their expanded showroom or go online at entrypointatlanta.com to get a free estimate.
Hey guys, Chris Domino, and it is official. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest, most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, it's no contest, it's Prize Picks. Because unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers, no sharks or competitive leagues. All you do is pick more or less 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. How would you like 100 times your money? So let's do the math. You throw in $10, you can win $1,000. That's happening at Prize Picks right now. There's quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous, the biggest, selection of player sports and stat types. Just go to prizepicks.com/thefan and use the promo code THEFAN for the first deposit match. Up to $100, that's prizepicks.com/thefan and use the promo code THEFAN. Prize Picks has got a game for you, and now there are community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community each week. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance. Your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. PrizePicks.com, the best, easiest way to play daily fantasy.
Pack your bags and join the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets football team in Dublin, Ireland as Tomy's Leather to kick off the 2024 football season in Dublin. The Aer Lingus College Football Classic will feature your Yellow Jackets versus the Florida State Seminoles in a special Week Zero matchup on August 24, 2024. Don't miss this unique opportunity to visit one of the world's most popular travel destinations while cheering on the Jackets on a global stage. For travel packages, tickets, and more information, go to gt2ireland.com. Sting 'em.
Get the one and done you want for your dog's monthly protection. NexGard Plus, a Foxolon or Moxidectin and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Protects against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. All in one delicious, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Time to sting 'em. And Chris Mooneyham and Wiley Ballard are bringing you the good word from the Georgia Tech Sports Network and Legend Sports.
Final segment on this latest edition of the good word live on the Fan. Don't forget, of course, coming up at 7 p.m. tonight, our newest edition of the Damon Stoudemire Coaches Show with Coach Stoudemire and Andy Demetra. Hey, before we get into this final segment, I just wanted to mention something really quick. I've worked in this market, of course. I was a guy who, when I came out of high school, and I was a broadcaster in high school some 30 years ago, and I didn't leave town like a lot of guys, go out to small towns and build it up and then come back around. I stayed here and toiled in anonymity and built it up that way. I've had a lot of small-time jobs and some medium-sized jobs, and I've been blessed enough to have some big jobs, and I've run into a lot of people because I've been here for so long. One guy that I got to run into and speak to a couple of times, did not build a relationship with him, didn't know him very well, spoke to him more on our radio station here in Atlanta during various shows than I ever did face-to-face. It's Chris Mortensen, one of the great sports reporters of our age, arguably the greatest NFL sports reporter of all time, and that's saying something. For those of you that did not hear, Chris Mortensen, famous, of course, from ESPN, passed away at the age of 72, and a lot of people here at this station going to miss him, a lot of people who never saw him or spoke to him going to miss him as well because he was such an integral part of so many people's lives watching sports throughout the 80s, 90s, and, of course, into these 2000s. And, of course, all of us here at the Dickey Broadcasting family of stations want to send out our condolences to his family on the loss. Chris Mortensen leaves us this weekend at 72 years of age. Wiley, did you ever have the chance to meet Mort?
No, I did not, which in a lot of ways kind of, to me, almost makes the loss more impactful because I recognize what an impact he had on me as a, you know, as a football fan growing up. And
yeah,
I never met the guy, and I'm still kind of like, I'm bummed. I mean, that's a clumsy way to put it, but
no, we get
it hurts.
We get
it. Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, the guy, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think a lot of broadcasters, my favorites are the ones who bring enthusiasm what they're covering. You know, you can tell like, man, this guy's excited. Yeah, Chris did that for me. You know, I'm not saying like in a hammy way, but like you could tell like this guy generally, like genuinely wanted to get out of bed and cover the football and was felt like he was privileged to have an opportunity to inform the rest of us. And I have a hard time finding a trait that is more attractive to me in a broadcaster of anything, whether that's sports or you know, more serious news, anything. Somebody who really takes the job as a privilege and a responsibility. To, you know, give the straight story and, you know, just and do it with enthusiasm.
First things first, you still watch the news? What are you doing?
Well, I mean,
you're killing yourself.
No, no,
I'm only joking.
No, I thought you were making a comment about social. Like, I don't get a lot of news social media now, wise, honestly.
Pete Van Wieren was mine. I never had the chance to meet Pete. Skip, I've just shaken hands. I've had the chance to shake the hand of both Joe and Had a short conversation with Don Sutton, mm-hmm. but never had the chance to interact with Pete Van Wieren. And of course, as an Atlanta guy, and I know you and I both baseball guys, don't forget, Mort made his bones covering that Atlanta Braves team
yep.
back in the dreary days of the 80s when they were losing 106 ball games a year. Really interesting, by the way, that he had the opportunity to do one last hit here on the station. For those of you that did not know, he spent 25 years
yeah.
coming on this station. And for many years, he was coming on the Buck and Kincaid show, yes. of course.
Yes.
Kincaid did comment on it, as did Buck. If you want to check that out on social media, Kincaid was out of the country. But somehow somebody let him know what had happened. What had happened? And he got on social media and had kind words, of course, for Mort. But Mort did get to do one more hit with Buck on his show on Friday.
That's why I was so shocked, because I saw that hit and I was like, oh, yeah. You know, Mort's. And then I was like, wait a minute, wasn't he just on the show?
It's tough, man. Anyway. It's tough. Yeah. We'll miss you, Mort. So Georgia Tech are going to hit the Pine coming up on, this is tomorrow night. Just got my dates mixed
up. 9 o'clock, baby.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
26 hours and 9 minutes.
Oh, that's right. It's the 9 p.m. game.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, man, I love those 9 p.m. games.
Hey.
What?
I do like them, but I'm a night
You
want
to switch with me?
No, I got plans tomorrow night.
Oh, convenient. Sure.
Yeah.
What's her name?
The College Park Skyhawks.
Oh, is that right, yeah. really? Oh, okay, you got a little bit of work tomorrow night. Yeah. All right, great, good.
Doesn't mean I can't drive over and go to... do the post-game show for you.
No, don't you worry about it. I think that's my last one of the year, so I definitely want to take it in. But in all seriousness, it's going to be a really great opportunity. Georgia Tech taking on Wake Forest. Wake coming off of a brutal loss, by the way.
Yeah, wow.
Where they blew a 15-point lead in the first half, a 9-point lead at the half. They were on pace for, 85, 90 points in that ball game and ended up having just a horrible second half, shooting against the Hokies, 13 of 30. I pulled the numbers because I had to see what it was, because I was keeping up with the score. I saw the final score, and I said, how did this happen? They must have gone ice cold in the second half. 13 of 30, 2 for 11 from beyond three, and scored just 30 points in the second half. Virginia Tech outscored them 50 to 30 in the second half play. It's another loss, by the way, on the road for the Demon Deacons. Too bad we're not getting them here at McCamish, but that's what will happen on...
We had him here at McCamish and go well, so maybe we are better up there.
Yeah, you're not lying. Well, that's a good point, because I was going to bring that up, too. Now, this is an opportunity to get a little bit of revenge, hopefully, with the Demon Deacons after that throttling they gave us at McCamish last time we saw them.
Yeah, let me tell you, man. I mean, 15-0, that is loud. That is, I mean, undefeated at home when you get to March is loud, especially in this league. And look, they've got a lot on the line here. I mean, you know, that loss against Virginia Tech, I mean, the last week has not been good. They lost to Notre Dame, and if you're a tournament team, you really can't be losing to Notre Dame. And then you got, like you said, blew that lead against Virginia Tech, and we all know how fragile the bubble is, and how, or I should say, how slippery it can be. And this is a Wake Forest team that is, look, you know, in some ways, I almost kind of feel like Wake is in a, has been similar to Georgia Tech in that the 2010s were not kind. Both teams had some really strong teams there in the 2000s, and for whatever reason, the last 10 years or so, it's not been kind. So much like Georgia Tech, if they were in a spot to try and make the tournament, I think Wake, you know, there's almost kind of this just white-knuckling for the fans of, like, can we finish this off? Can we actually get back to the dance?
Now, they're 2-4 in their last six overall. That's not been at home, though. 2-4 in their last six. I had that right. Yeah. Math. Good gracious, man. I hate you, math. By the way, Demon Deacons 46-5 in their last 51 games at home. As you mentioned, 15-0, but... 46-5 since the start of the 2021-22 season.
You don't just go to the Joel and win, man.
Yeah, exactly right.
Oh, that's the plan tomorrow night, baby.
Well, we'll see how it all unfolds tomorrow night. The Ramblin' Wreck tip-off show going to hit the air, of course, at 8:30 p.m. I'll be in the pilot's chair alongside David Holloway and Chris Colwell. And then, of course, Andy Demetra and Randy Waters will have the play-by-play story from Winston-Salem. Tip at 9 p.m. as the Jackets take on the Demon Deacons. Until next week... Thanks for joining us. For Wiley Ballard and our entire crew, I'm Chris Mooneyham. The Damon Stoudemire Show is coming up next, and it always follows the good word. Live on The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM.
Thanks for joining us for The Good Word. Chris and Wiley have the latest on the Yellow Jackets every week following the Coach Brent Key Show from the Georgia Tech Sports Network and Legend Sports.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.